Blog Talk Radio.
Give me wisdom when I need to have it
that he'll give me understanding. Amen, amen. Let us pray and get into today's lesson, part two. Yesterday I started this, and the Lord impressed upon my heart, and I realized that so many of us as Christians are walking around defeated, or I should say, with sour faces, because we do not express the joy of the Lord. Just being a Christian, and if you truly are a growing Christian, a maturing Christian, you should have the joy of the Lord on a daily basis. It's not about how you feel. It's about who you are in Christ. And when we know who we are in Christ, then we shouldn't need that I need to get a pump every Sunday. You should be pumped up every day, because God is a God who loves us 7 days a week. He's a faithful God. He's a loving God, a nurturing God. He is our Heavenly Father, and He wants us to be encouraged. He wants us to have the joy of the Lord daily. That's why He gave us His Holy Word. And most of us got not just one Bible, we got several Bibles. And not just the Bible, but we have at our fingertips in this modern day, we have a plethora of Bible information online. So you can go online and get study tools and helps that are free, that you can research the scriptures and be encouraged with devotionals, as well as just encouraging Bible studies and sermons we can listen to from some of the great Bible teachers of our time, as well as those in the past that have went on to glory that are still bringing forth the word. Amen. So I want us to get into finding joy in trying times, part two. But let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and grace. We thank you, Lord God, for loving us first when we did not know what love was, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that you rescued us out of darkness and brought us into the light. And now that we are in the light, Lord, we should be bearing fruit, Lord. And that fruit should be giving us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. We should be the most ecstatic people on this planet. We should be walking around demonstrating what Jesus is doing in our life. And the joy of the Lord should be shining from us, that we may encourage others who may not know him. Lord, I pray, Lord, that I decrease and that you increase. But, Lord, I pray that it might be a lost soul here today, whether it be live or in the archives, someone out there, Lord, that does not have a personal relationship with you, Lord, this would be the day that they would humble themselves, turn to you, Lord, repent, confess their sins, and trust Jesus Christ as their Lord, Master, and Ruler, that they may have this unspeakable joy. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. All right, 646-668-8468 is a call in to listen in. We're not going to try to take, we probably won't take any questions until right at the end, if anybody does have any. But I want us to kind of understand what this joy, because even though the Bible in Galatians 6 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and notice it's singular, even though the Bible mentions several fruits, it's singular because they all are encumbered under one umbrella of the byproduct of biblical salvation is that each and every one of us will have fruits, even though they are it's meant in a singular form. You cannot have just one fruit. You can't just have love without peace. You can't have patience without joy. All of these are encumbered, and every one of these fruits, even though it's singular in the sense that we will have the fruits, they'll be encumbered, but we will have this, all of them come together. You can't just leave anyone aside. It's kind of like the attributes of God. People say, oh, God is love. No, that's one of his attributes. But also, God is a consuming fire. God is a God, is a just God. He's holy. He's righteous. He has many attributes, and they all are part of his nature. They're part of his character. You cannot pick and choose or cherry pick God's attributes. Every one of them are encumbered of who he is. When God puts judgment on a nation, he's just in doing that because he's holy. That's part of who he is. Would you want a judge that never judged righteous? Would you want somebody killed and murdered and maimed, and he said, oh, I'm just a good God. I don't believe in putting people behind bars. That wouldn't be justice. So neither would it be justice for us to not look at God in his totality of who he is and his very character and his nature. You cannot have a holy God without having a just God. Amen. All right, let's look at this. I'm going to read this, and this is from John W. Rittenhouse, the forerunner. This was what he wrote on the fruit of the Spirit. Does anyone on earth not want to live confidently and joyfully? Undoubtedly, out of 6 billion people, a few are so soured on life that they would rather be dead, a thought they express in the downcast, grumbling, and sometimes even snarling demeanor. However, they must be a trifling number in contrast to those who sincerely desire to possess joy in an overflowing abundance. Here in the United States, one of our nation's foundational documents, the preamble to the Declaration of Independence, states that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. This was penned in 1776, and since then we Americans have seriously and zealously pursuing happiness with great vigor, and perhaps all other people on the face of God's green earth. Now, one thing we know about in America, the pursuit of happiness is based on things and not based on the Creator himself. Most people pursue happiness in the form of, I want more stuff, I want a bigger house, I want more kids, I want a husband, a wife, I want more women. Whatever that joy is or that happiness they pursue is different than the happiness or the joy that God talks about, because true joy and contentment is found in Christ Jesus alone. As we grow and grow into him, we should have more joy. We should have more peace in our life. We should be content in our life. But unfortunately, so many people have made God into a Santa Claus that if they don't get their stuff, then they're not happy. If they don't get what they want from God, then they don't want to serve God. And that's not the true and living God that you serve in anyway. Satan will give you gifts of the heart, and if your heart is wicked and deceitful, guess what? You won't have that real true peace unless you have stuff. So we need to look at what does the Bible teach us about this joy, this joy. And yesterday we talked to, we looked at some of the joyous celebration of Israel and what God was there. Just to recap, let's look at Deuteronomy 16:15. For 7 days you should keep the feast to the Lord your God at the place that the Lord will choose, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you will be altogether joyful. Now, notice this. Israel labored for this joy. Their harvest was given to them based on not only the work that they did, but the heart that they did it behind. He says, for 7 days you should keep the feast to the Lord your God. See, they were worshiping God in their labor and their work. He says, at the place that the Lord will choose, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce, and in all the work of your hands, so that you will be altogether joyful. Now, you imagine this. If you go to work and you are doing it unto the Lord, and God is blessing your hands as you do your job. I think a lot of times we minimize that, and I've done it. I do it sometimes. We have to realize that everything we do should be done to the glory of God. Your job, wherever you go, if you go shopping in Walmart, you should be joyful. You should do it unto the Lord. You might say, oh, that's my personal time. God gave you the personal time, because you could be on your back. Amen? Nehemiah 8:10 says, and then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready for this day. In other words, hey, bless the poor, those that are lacking. Be ready to share. Be ready to give freely. He says, sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Remember, if you want to get strength, you can be able to lift a building. You might be Hercules, but if you don't have joy, if you don't have your strength, does not bring you joy. He says, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You want to get some strength, get some joy. Walk in the joy of the Lord. I want to move on because I know time moves real quick. I want us to look at singing with joy to the Lord. A lot of us as Christians don't have a joyful song in our heart. Oh, we get pumped up on Sundays, but Monday through Saturday, we're walking around looking for the world to give us joy, give us a song in our heart. And God already gave us a song in our heart. We should be the most joyful people on the planet. Why? Because we have Christ living in us if he is living in you. If you are truly a Christian, and this is only if you're a Christian, can you know what this means? Psalms 5:11-12 says, "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield." See, as believers, friends, we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing I can do to give myself back to the world if I'm truly saved. If I'm truly saved, then God has saved me once for all. And guess what? He has given me everything I need, everything you need to live out this Christian life with joy, unspeakable joy. He has given you everything. And he's your shield. He's your rock. He's your refuge if you truly know him. Now, the issue is if you truly know him. Because most people just have a said faith, but they have never had a saving faith experience. Most people have what they call a I walk the aisle experience. I said a prayer. And all of that has its place. But guess what? It's more than just saying a prayer. It's more than just walking down the aisle. It's more than just joining your local church. You might be a part of the body, but never be a part of a relationship with Jesus Christ. You might have a so-called relationship, but Jesus don't know you, according to Matthew 7. He said, "I'm going to tell you, depart from me. I never knew you," because you're still in the world. You still love the world and the things of the world. You still are of the devil, and that's the father of lies who you serve. But God says this, "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt in you. For you bless the righteous." You hear this? You bless. That's another form of joy or happiness. You want to be blessed? Be righteous. You can only be righteous if you are righteous, if you've been born again. If you truly are saved, you will live a righteous life. Now, everybody's not going to walk through that new birth experience and easy breezy. No, it means working out your salvation with fear and trembling. But the righteous will grow and mature. Those who have the spirit of truth in them will grow. And let me tell you something. Let me say this on the back note. You cannot grow without knowing God's word. If you're not picking up the word of God daily or reading something online, whether it's on your phone, Bible apps, I don't care. We have 24 hours in a day. You telling me you can't spend no time with God, but you want him to spend time with you when you're in trouble? Come on now. You wouldn't even do that in the world. You know, God wants us to have fellowship, an intimate moment with him. Consistently with that. You can't just be a part-time Christian and want to go to a full-time heaven. Come on now. Psalms 47:1. "Clap your hands, all people. Shout to God with loud songs of joy." When the last time you clapped your hands? I ain't talking about when it was a group of people around. How about just in your house? How about in your car? How about at your job? Many people want to be a Gestapo Christian. Want to be my religion is private. Yes, so private even Jesus don't know about it. But my Bible says if you're ashamed of Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. You better make a joyful noise, because God says it. Clap your hands. That's an imperative. That's obedience. Clap your hands, all peoples. All peoples are his people. Not the world, he don't expect them to clap their hands. Fake Christians can't clap their hands for the Lord because they don't know him. He says, shout to God with loud songs of joy. That's a kid commandment. You should want to do it, though. I'm a truck driver. I work 5 to 5. I'm all up and down the highways of Southern California. Guess what? I'm listening to Christian music, Christian radio, getting the word. And guess what? I be shouting and praising God because my God is awesome. My God is holy. I don't care if people see me in my truck praising God. They might think I'm listening to some worldly song, but I'm listening to something that's giving me joy in my heart. Psalm 63:5-7. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. He says, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. How many of us have had a just awesome cake, chocolate cake, or whatever your favorite cake is? I like red velvet. I like chocolate. But you think about you don't have one that just make you go, it's like a little bit of heaven. You know, that cake is just awesome. It's just great to your taste buds. He says, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. I mean, if I had, I had to come back to California to get this because they closed them down in Texas. But I'm a big fan of Sizzler Restaurant. And one of my favorite meals when I go there, and I never go there and not get it, I don't care what else I like on the menu, steak and Malibu chicken, Malibu chicken in particular. I just love that little piece of chicken, fried chicken breast with a piece of ham on top and some Swiss cheese. And it's got this mustard sauce. I'm plugging the Sizzler right now. It's some, hey, I could eat that every day. I'm probably going to be there Friday, so I've told them myself. But I can relate to the psalmist right here. David said, my soul would be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth would praise you with joyful lips. See, when you have something in Jesus Christ, when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you should have something to praise him for. You should be able to tell others about how good he's been in your life. Not because you got stuff, but because you have the Savior. You don't need to get a bunch of stuff to praise God. You should praise him because he saved you from hell's kitchen. He saved you, redeemed you, he bought you. He's loved on you. He's given you a peace, and he's giving you unspeakable, unquenchable joy. If you get the word in you and the word is constantly filling your soul and satisfying you like rich food, you ain't going to have no choice but to praise him. And guess what? You will cause others to want to know what it means to praise God. You'll cause others. This thing could be contagious. This is what we call contagious Christianity. You shouldn't wait till Sunday to get a pump. The Word of God should pump you up daily. There's sermons you can listen to. There's exhortation you can get from others. I mean, it's just so much. The Word of God does not come back void, my friends. And we can have unspeakable, unquenchable joy if we just keep on. If we just really grab hold to what God is calling us to do. Amen. Let's move along quick. I'm going to cover these two. Psalms 96:11-13. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Now, one thing we must realize is that when you see the trees, they give praise to God because he created them. The ocean gives praise to God. It roars. But guess what? It's speaking to God. It's praising him. The word of God praises him. The nature praises God. He says, let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy. You think them trees just blowing through the wind? No, they praising God. They praising God. We should give. Now, if the creation could praise him, inanimate objects like the ocean and the land and the sea and trees, if they can give him praise, how much more should we open our mouths and give him praise? He says, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. I love that, because guess what? God is a just God, and he's going to judge in righteousness. Not one person on this planet that has ever been, that has ever lived and came through a womb will go unjudged. And God is going to be righteous in everything he judged, whether it was a slave master, whatever crime they might have done. They're going to stand before a holy God and be judged, and not one person is going to get away with anything. Those who have repented and trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will be rewarded for their faithfulness and their commitment to Christ, and those who have rejected him will be judged according to their deeds and their rejection of a holy God. Last verse, Isaiah 12:6, shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. Zion refers to the God's people or the nation of a holy nation. It's another form of Israel, but it's basically talking about God's people. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel. One thing we must realize is that God is not through with Israel as a nation. God is going to deal with them in the tribulation period, and they're going to come to faith in Jesus Christ and receive their Messiah with joy. But guess what? Us as Gentiles, a Gentile nation, who has had this wonderful book we call the Bible, we're going to be judged too. We're going to be judged for kicking God out of our nation. We're going to be judged because we didn't want God in our nation. We didn't want to live holy. We didn't want to live righteous. But guess what? Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, my friends. Not one of us is going to get away with anything. The murderers of unborn, over 50 million babies that have been killed from the womb, and we want to say we're a civilized nation. That's barbaric. That's genocide. But we want to say we're better than the others. We're no different than some of the communist nations, because we kill babies every single day. Over 400 babies are killed every day in this nation in abortions. And we want to say it's a woman's right to choose. Well, what if God chose to kill you today just because? But we want to be so self-righteous and, oh, irresponsible. Because irresponsibility now is, oh, well, I don't want no child. Well, you shouldn't have laid on your back. You should have made wiser decisions not to be. Friends, we need to get it together. We need to get it together. This nation needs to repent. America is the new Babylon. But guess what? One day Jesus is coming back, and I take great joy in that, knowing that he is not going to allow anyone to get away with anything, including me. We all have to stand and give an account. But one thing I can say is that we can shout and sing. Those of us who know him, those of us who have trusted him, can shout and sing, O inhabitant, because God is in our midst, and he is the Holy One of Israel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We ask, Lord God, that you touch the souls and those. May we meditate on what we heard today, and may your Holy Spirit give us wisdom and understanding. May we be sensitive to the things that are going on in the midst of. Lord, I pray that if it was anybody that was in darkness, Lord, that is in darkness, that they would come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, that they may know you and worship you in spirit and truth. We love you, we praise you, we bless you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Again, you can catch me on Facebook at Daryl Kendrick. You can also catch me on my phone, 713-538-4936. Call me anytime if you have any Bible questions. I'll try to answer them as best of my ability. And I want to invite you back here. Stay tuned for my Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/MinisterBigKen65 for the archives. You can catch over 400 different shows and sermons on the Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned. future shows. We'll probably be back tomorrow if the Lord says the same. If not, just check out our Blog Talk Radio program on a daily basis to see what we have in store. God bless each and every one of you. I'm your host, Minister Daryl Kendrick, a.k.a. Minister Big Ken, and we are gone for the day. God bless you. Have a good day.
light all the stars.